the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah.
If the altar's where you meet us, take me there. Take me there. If what you need is just an offering, I'm right here. My life is here, and I'll be a living sacrifice for you. You're a fire, the refiner. I wanna be close to you. I wanna be tried by fire. Purified. You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. I wanna be tried by fire. Purify. You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. If your glory wants to come in, let it fall. We want it all. Lord, your fire is consuming. Let it fall. Set it ablaze. 'Cause I'll be a living sacrifice for you. You're a fire, the refiner. I wanna be close to you. I wanna be tried by fire. Purify. You take whatever you desire. And Lord, here's my life. I wanna be tried by fire. Purify. You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. So clean my hands. Purify my heart. I wanna burn for you, only for you. Take my life as a sacrifice, 'cause I wanna burn for you, only for you. I wanna be tried by fire, purified. You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. I wanna be tried by fire. Purified. You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. I wanna be tried by fire. Purify. You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. I wanna be tried by fire. Purify. You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. Oh, I wanna be tried by fire, purify. You take whatever you require. Lord, here's my life. To clean my hands and purify my heart, 'cause I wanna burn for you. Only for you, oh, take my life as a sacrifice, 'cause I wanna burn for you, only for you. So burn me beautiful, burn me lovely, burn me righteous, burn me holy, burn me beautiful. Burn me lovely, burn me righteous, burn me holy, burn me beautiful, burn me lovely, burn me righteous. righteous, burn me holy, burn me beautiful, and burn me lovely, and burn me righteous, and burn me holy. I wanna be tried by fire, purify. You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. I wanna be tried by fire. Purify. You take whatever you desire. And Lord, here's my life.
Well, let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you. And God, we do understand, God, it is in the refiner's fire, God, of your love that you burn and etch into us that which it is beautiful for us to be. God, if it's left up to our own devices, we would choose anything, but it is in your love that you put in us what needs to be. Now, God, I'm praying that you would hide me beneath the cross, that you would think through my mind, speak through my mouth. Let it be all of you and less of me. Let the people be eternally touched and blessed, and let no one's coming be in vain, and no one viewing online, don't let their coming be in vain either, or their viewing be in vain. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, let everybody say, amen. Amen. Come on with your Bibles in your hands. Repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Pastor Andre, feed me this word. Come on, put your hands together in this house. Amen. Believing that God would feed you. Before we get going, I just want to give a shout out to Brother Stephen Anderson. He called me on yesterday and said he would like to visit, and he said that they rolled deep and he brought a whole bunch of people with him. So we're grateful to have you. Thank you so much. Amen. It's always good to be around and amongst other believers. Somebody said in that great getting up morning, we all gonna be together. Amen. All right, so let's get right into the word. Today, the title is going to be this, the force of faith. The force of faith. I'll say it one more time for clarity. The force of faith. I'm going to put a definition up of force, and then we will show you how we're going to lay this out. Force is strength, power, energy, might, potency, vigor, muscle, stamina, effort, exertion, impact, pressure, weight, impetus. Leave the definition up just a little while longer. And so we're talking about the force of faith. And because many of us have been in church most of our life and been around God most of our life, we've heard things like faith, hope, and love. We've heard things like peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. We've heard those things, and sometimes they go in one ear and out the other. It's almost like old hat. We know that. But I wanted to add this word, the force of faith. So let's think about how strong faith is, how powerful faith is, how energetic faith is, how mighty, how potency, how vigorous, how muscular, how much stamina, effort, exertion, impact, pressure, weight, and impetus comes with faith. So say it with me, the force of faith. We have 5 points, so point number one, we'll put it on the screen. Point number one is faith becomes a force once we know the importance of faith. Once we understand how important it is, that's when it becomes a force. As long as it's something that we can leave or take, then it doesn't become forceful in our life. In other words, there are things in the kingdom of God that sometimes we set on the shelf because we don't understand how important or how valuable they are, and then they never become the force in our life that they could be because we treat it as, oh, that's just what I read about. That's just what the preacher talked about. But when, if you want it to become a force in your life, you have to treat it as if it's valuable. You have to see the importance of it. So we're trying to take faith, which is a kingdom principle, and we're trying to get it to be a force in our individual lives. And in order to do that, we have to understand the importance of faith. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to have a point, and with the point is going to come a question, and explaining the question is going to give you the answer to the point. So here is the question after the point, and the question is, why faith? Why? We talk about it, but why? Why is it necessary? Why is it important? Why is it a part of the kingdom? Why did God institute it? What is it there for? And I don't have time in this time of teaching. I don't have time to give you all of it, so I'm only going to give you a little bit, but let me start in something that's not going to be on the screen or in my notes. Let me start with this, that God is a God of faith. The Bible says that in the time when the world was being recreated, it says that there was darkness, and it was darkness upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. In the Hebrew, it really means light be. So in other words, God didn't look at the situation. He spoke with the force of his faith to change what he saw. And so faith is important because faith comes out of God. God is a God of faith. He's a God of order. He's a God of power. He's a God of love, but he's a God of faith. If he wasn't a God of faith, then we wouldn't understand this verse in Hebrews 12:1, I believe. It's not in the notes, but I'll just quote it. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for who the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Wait a second. There was nothing joyous about the cross unless you're looking at it from the eyes of faith. See, in the eyes of faith, what Jesus knew is if I go to the cross, somebody's going to be able to be drawn by my blood. So he looked at the cross with joy because he's a God of faith. He was a man of faith. So God is a God of faith. And if we are his children, we ought to be people of faith. We shouldn't play with it. We should be walking in a force of faith. All right, let's go through some scriptures that'll help us. Ephesians 2:8. This will let us know. This I shouldn't have to say anything else about the importance of it after we read this verse.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God.
One of the first reasons why faith is vitally important is because you can't be saved without faith. It is through faith, through the agency of faith, that we have purchased, that we have access to what was purchased, which was the salvation that he purchased on the cross. I'll give you just a quick example to explain this. The first time, and it's ironic, I'm wearing black and yellow, but the first time I went to Pittsburgh, that the road that I traveled, you had to go through this tunnel, and once you come out on the other end of the tunnel, then Pittsburgh is right there. Now, I couldn't get to Pittsburgh unless I went through the tunnel. Now, Pittsburgh was there all the time, but the only way I could access it was to go through the tunnel. Now, just because I didn't go through the tunnel didn't change the fact that Pittsburgh was there, but if I wanted to access it, I had to go through the tunnel. Well, you are saved by grace through faith. See, God has already done the work, but you can't access it unless you believe, unless you go through the tunnel. Unless you use your faith, you got to believe this thing. So you've got to put something in it. But yes, God has already done the work, but this is how we access this life is through faith. And here's another reason why. Put up verse, the second verse, which is 2 Corinthians 5:7. Very familiar passage.
For we walk by faith, not by sight.
The reason why it's got to be vitally important to you is because we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we have natural eyes, but there's nothing in the spiritual realm that we can access unless we access it through our faith. So we're walking around blind to the negative things of the world, and we're walking around open, unlocked to the things of God, but we have to access it through faith. All right, that should let us know why it's important. Only two verses. I could go through several different reasons, but let's keep moving. Let's go to point number two. Faith becomes a force once we see faith as a lifestyle, not something we just play with and use to get what we need, but we see faith as a lifestyle. Now, the scripture we just read says we walk by faith. So it has to be a lifestyle. It has to be a daily practice. It has to be something that's part of your Christendom, part of you being what we call a believer. When we get saved, we call ourselves believers, but if you're not walking by faith, how do you call yourself a believer if you're never using faith? Some of us, if it's not laid out right in front of us, then, oh, God ain't, he ain't doing good for me, so I'm leaving the church. What you mean you're leaving the church? Well, I prayed on Monday, and it didn't happen by Monday night. No, you need some faith, baby. There's some things that you're going to have to walk through. There's some things you're going to have to believe. You're going to have to trust in God. God is not your Santa Claus. He don't have to do everything you want, when you want, how you want. You got to believe. You got to access this thing through faith. So it has to become a lifestyle. It has to become how we live. Now, by saying that, that doesn't mean it's easy. See, if you think this life is all about ease, you've misunderstood and misappropriated the things of the Bible. The Bible talks about Abraham being a man of faith, but it took him 25 years to access the promise. Not because God wasn't good, but because he was in this human nature. And when you're in human nature, we sometimes get tricked by human things, and things don't happen right, and people do these things, but we have to keep processing through faith until it becomes a force in our life. Now I'm going to back up just for a second, take a quick little rabbit trail. Sometimes I feel like some of us make the devil's job easy. He don't have to do anything hard to us. We get knocked off easy, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We don't have any stamina. We don't have any force. We can't go through nothing. We somebody lied on me and I'm ready to leave God and leave the church. No, you got to have a force of faith. If you walk out on me, that didn't change that God is still good in my life. God still deserves the glory. God, he still deserves the praise. I got to believe this thing. Y'all look like y'all going to help me preach this morning. So it has to become a lifestyle. And the more it becomes a lifestyle, it becomes a driving force. And let me explain that. There's some things that I do that I don't really feel like doing in my natural self, but I do it before I know I'm doing it because the force of faith has taken over and my spirit starts driving the ship. Now, many of y'all who I pastor know the story, but some of those who are new here don't know the story. But to make it quick, me and my wife had a total of 3 miscarriages to have the 3 babies we had. So the second miscarriage, I was in the emergency room, my wife, my mom, and me. And then the doctor comes in and says, we can't find a trace of a baby. She was so cold and so rough in the way she communicated the news. We knew my wife was pregnant, but this is the second consecutive baby that we've lost within 6 months. Now, here I am sitting in the emergency room wondering, God, why aren't you coming through for me and my wife? And while I'm trying to wrestle in my mind, I hear something down on the inside of me that says, praise me. Now, in my mind, I'm like, I don't feel like praising you because I want to know why my babies keep dying. And I'm looking at my wife and she has tears in her eyes and she turns over and the only word she said to me, she says, baby, I can't keep going through this. Now, as a husband, that broke my heart. And here God, he's talking about praise me. But here's the thing, my spirit took over. And while I was still trying to wrestle in my mind, before I knew it, my spirit started praising God. And the song that I sang said, Lord, you are good. and your mercy endureth forever. The situation is not good, but God, you're still good. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why you haven't answered the prayer the way I want you to answer the prayer, but God, you're still good. What happened was the force of faith took over. Now, 7 years later, I have 3 babies because faith was still working. You got to give faith time to work. But God has never lost a case. He's never lost a battle. He's a doctor in the sick room. He's a lawyer in the courtroom. You got to have some faith till it becomes a lifestyle and a force. All right. So back to my original point, sometimes the devil don't have to really do much to us because we don't come to him with any force. But once you have the force of faith, he got to work kind of hard to get you down. So let's look at this. All these are going to basically say the same thing, but I want to point out to you that God never has to repeat himself. So whenever he puts something in the word over and over and over, it's something that we should understand. So let's read. We're going to read. I'm not going to stop you. We're going to read through all 4 of these verses. That's Habakkuk 2 and 4. And I have it underlined. The just shall live by his faith. Faith. Old Testament. Going to the New Testament. Romans 1, 17.
For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Same thing. We're seeing the same thing in Galatians 3:11. Reiterating the same thing. All right, let's read Hebrews 10:38. I bring all these up to talk to us about the lifestyle of faith. And here's the thing. This is not a suggestion. It's a command. The just shall live by faith. If you've been justified by his blood, then the lifestyle you should live is a lifestyle of faith. Now let's just bring it down to simple things. We serve a God we can't see. We believe in a Jesus. I wasn't at the cross. I believe in him, but I wasn't at the cross. So you're going to have to access some of this stuff by faith. You're going to have to live by faith. You're going to have to put your effort and force and energy to believe. But here's the thing. There's a whole lot of stuff we believe that we don't know. So why are you only going to act funny when it comes to God? I've never seen COVID. I've never seen COVID. But I believe there's something called COVID and coronavirus because that's what they told me. But I ain't never seen it. I believe my last name is Mitchell, but I ain't never seen nothing that says my last name is Mitchell. I believe it because that's what they told me. So how come when it comes to God, you can't believe what he told you? You've got to learn this is a lifestyle of faith. Well, it's too hard to believe in something I can't see. You believe in gravity, but you can't see it. You believe when you turn your car on, it's going to start, but you don't see the engine starting. You believe a whole lot of stuff you can't see, but when it comes to God, you act like you can't believe. I've never seen God, but I believe him. I've never seen Jesus, but I believe his blood washed my sins. And maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I'm crazy, but this is what I believe. And it's become a lifestyle. And the more I believe it, it becomes a force. How about the old nursery rhyme about the little train, the little engine that could, whatever? He said, I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. Well, I'm just crazy to believe I think I can. I think I'm going to make it to heaven. I think God going to turn this situation around. I think God going to heal my body. I think God going to save my loved ones. I believe it, and it becomes a force. All right, I got to keep going because it's not the meat of what I'm trying to get into. This is just the appetizer. But we're already in point number 3. Let's go to point number 3. Faith becomes a force once we know what faith is and what faith is not. So now I got to take some time and I got to work this thing just a little bit. So I've been preaching, but let me go into teach mode. It becomes a force once you know what it really is. The problem is many of us don't really know what it is. We can quote it, we can talk about it, but we don't know what it is and we don't know what it's not. As I was preparing this, I thought about a story that my father talks about all the time, where he was watching TV and they were training people how to detect counterfeit money. And how they did it, they never showed them any counterfeit money. They just kept showing them the real. And the more they got acquainted with the real, they would automatically know the fake. So if I get you to know what faith is, you're going to automatically know what faith is not. And the problem with some of us, we've never been acquainted with what God really is long enough so we can get tricked by anything. But once you know what God is, and once you know what you believe, can't nobody push you out of this thing. I know what I believe. God's been good to me. I'm not here for my granddaddy's religion and my grandmama's religion and my daddy's religion. I know God for myself. He's delivered me for myself. He done turned some stuff around for myself. I thank God for what he's done for you. But when I look in the mirror, I know what God has done for me. He's been there for me. He's my Jehovah Jireh. He's my Jehovah Nissi. He's my Jehovah Makedesh. I know what God means to me. Now, if I was in the older church that I grew up, they would say, real, real. Jesus is real to me. So many people doubt him. But I can't live without him. That is why I love him so, because he's so real to me. And I want us to get back to Christians that know and believe God for themselves. Then it becomes a force. And the world is ripe for Christians to go out there and change the world. Because everything that they've been believing in is folding and falling and shaking. But the problem is the church is shaking like everything else. Education systems failing, government systems failing, financial systems failing. But when the church starts failing, who are they going to look to? So we got to become a force so that when it fails out there, they'll have some place that they can come to. But if we are just as shaky as they are, when they come, they'll go right back out the doors. So we got to have a force of faith. All right, so let's answer this question. Let's answer the question, what is faith? Somebody say, what is faith? Let's look at Hebrews 11:1.
Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
First thing it says, it is the substance. Not a substance, but it is the substance. It's the substance of things hoped for, but it's the evidence of things not seen. Let me give you an example. Y'all all have dealt with this and probably didn't know you've dealt with it. You've gone to a hotel. You've checked in at the hotel. And then the hotel person will say, we don't have any rooms left for you. And then you say, no, I have a confirmation number. The confirmation number is not the hotel room. But it is the evidence that there's a hotel room somewhere with my name on it. So I don't have to see the hotel room. I have the evidence that I booked something sometime. So I don't know if you got to make a room, but there's a room somewhere with my name on it. So faith is, I may not be able to see it, but I got evidence. I can't see my healing, but I got evidence. I can't see my deliverance, but I got evidence. And I'm hoping in what I can't see. And you say I'm crazy, but I'm here to let you know it's faith. Let me give you another example. A lot of us, when we started working, we got paid by a check. Now, the check is not the money. There ain't no money in that paper, but it represents some money. There's many of us that got happy when we got the check, but that wasn't the money. But we got happy by faith because the check was the evidence that there's some money somewhere. So once you have some evidence, that's what you put your faith in and your hope in, and that becomes the substance of what you're believing for. In other words, you don't believe only when the manifestation shows up. You believe when you first get evidence. When you first get the evidence, that's when you believe. And I'm going to work it a little bit more later, but let me just throw it right in right now. So if you can find it in the word, that's your evidence. This is your confirmation number. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, or stayed on thee. Now, I may not be in peace right now, but that's my evidence that I have access to peace. And so I'm not going to stop until I get the peace that the Bible says that I can have. All right, let's continue to read. Let's go to 11:2. The elders or the ancestors, they attained a good report by faith. And then let's go to verse 3. And this will explain what I said. It is the substance. Read.
Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
So what we see is not really held up by stuff we can see. There's something else holding up what we can see, and it is the unseen realm. And that is what we are believing in, is something we can't see. But just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not substantial or it's not substance. Have you ever seen your heart? And if you've seen your heart, been able to look inside your chest and seen your heart and seen your lungs, and seeing your atoms and seeing your molecules, you're somebody special. I haven't seen none of that, but that doesn't mean I don't believe that my heart is pumping all the time. So you don't have to see it with your eyes to believe it. Sometimes people say seeing is believing, but I want to flip it. Believing is seeing. All right, let's keep on going. I want to paint this up just a little more. Verse 4. Now, you may not be able to see it that clear, but I've underlined some words. And each one of these words end in ED, which means they're past tense. And I decided to use the King James Version. So it says, by faith, Abel offered. All right, let's go to the next verse.
By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not.
Please, ED, past tense. Now, these are things that we can read in Genesis that we see, but over in Hebrews, Paul is letting us know these things were done by faith. All right? Let's go to verse 6. One of the reasons why you have to understand faith as a form, so they said it is impossible. It doesn't say improbable. It says impossible. It is impossible to please God without faith. I could just stop and teach on that alone, but I don't have time because I'm going somewhere. But I need you to understand, many of us, we try to figure out what we need to do to please God, live by faith. So what does that mean? That means he's not going to show you everything. That means you're going to walk in the dark, so to speak. That means the road will not always be laid out, but how you please God is say, I'm going to keep walking anyhow. Let me give you this example of the women at the tomb of Jesus. They were going to the tomb, Mary and remember right offhand who the other person was. They were going to the tomb, and they were going to dress him for his burial. But they asked themselves this question. They said, who's going to roll away the stone? They didn't know who was going to roll away the stone, but they kept walking. They didn't stop walking toward the tomb, even though they didn't know how they was going to get in the tomb, and they know they didn't have the power to roll away the stone, but they still kept walking. That's faith. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know when it's going to work out. I don't know, God, what you're going to do, but I'm not going to stop moving forward. Now, you have to understand, they had just lost their Savior, they thought, and they were in grief, and they were in turmoil, but they kept walking. I need some saints that'll keep walking. I ain't got to see it all, but I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep believing God. And we know how the story goes. When they got there, the stone was already rolled away. Because 3 days later, he had got up out of the ground with all power in his hand. And I need you to understand, you may not see how we're going to fix it, but don't you stop walking. Don't you stop moving toward the things of God. You'll find out that God has already worked it out, but you can't quit. Keep walking. In other words, keep living by faith. All right, let's keep going. Let's look at Hebrews 11, 7.
By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing heart to the saving of power, by which he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith.
All these things that we read in Genesis, and so we know the story that Noah, for 120 years, he's preaching about it's going to rain, and the people don't even know what rain is. They don't have a context for it, but yet he got this vision of God to build an ark. And you know how crazy he would have looked every day building the big boat and people laughing at him, talking about him. But faith says, I don't care if you laugh at me. I don't care if you talk about me. I know what I heard from God. And yes, it's taken a long time to show up, but I believe God so much so I'm going to do what he told me to do. And let me tell you something. You don't have a force of faith if people can talk you out of what God told you to do. So with some stuff we're going to have to do by faith. And so that means it's not going to be automatic. It's not always going to be easy. Sometimes you got to exist in your marriage by faith. Nobody celebrates 50 years of marriage and everything was happy and easy. No, you got to go through some stuff. But if you believe that's the woman God called for you and you're the man God called for her, by faith, you put up with some stuff. You go through some stuff. You get on your knees and you pray over some stuff. I'm not letting go because I believe God. When your children are acting crazy, you got to believe God. When your money is funny, you got to believe God. When people are lying on you, you got to believe God. You got to learn how to believe God in the midst of all kinds of crazy things because you have a force of faith. Got to keep going. Got to keep pushing. And I'm not going to act like everything's hard in God. Sometimes you're going to have some good, easy days, but some days it's going to be stressful. Some days it's going to be hard, but if you believe, you keep on pushing. You keep on going forward. And here's the thing I've learned in my life. There's never been anything that I pushed for, believed for, that after I got to the end of it and received what God wanted me to have and what God wanted me to do, there was never a time I went back and say I would have changed it. I wouldn't change anything that happened in the past because God has a way of blessing and turning things around so much that you thank God for everything you went through to get what you got. I say it all the time that even though I didn't like having miscarriages, I was a better father after them. And I believe Devin was a better mother after what we went through. Sometimes what you go through, and that's why I believe, even though we didn't talk about it, that's why I believe Sister Jocelyn sang the song, I want to be tried by fire. Now that's cute to sing, but it's harder to live. Being tried by fire and being purified. But the song says, I want you to burn me righteous. I want you to burn me lovely. I want you to burn me holy. Here's the thing. If you leave it up to me, I won't just choose holiness on my own all the time. There's some stuff in my flesh that don't want holiness. But when you burn it in me, God, when you take me through trials, God, when you haven't left me nor forsake me, I come out like Job says, I come out like pure gold. I'm glad what I went through. David said, I was glad that I was afflicted because I learned righteousness of what I went through. And now that I know what God was working in my life, I wouldn't trade none of it. Because it prepared a force in me. Let's continue to read. Verse 8. Obeyed. E-D. Past tense. Go, read.
And he went out, not knowing whither he went.
All right, verse 13. The final one we'll read, and then we'll switch into what faith is not. Hold on. Read that again.
These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off,
You mean to tell me they didn't necessarily get everything they were praying for, and the Bible says he still called it faith? I want you to read that one more time. Maybe I'm seeing something wrong. Because I thought God got to do everything I want, when I want, how I want, where I want. But read that again.
These all died in faith.
Died in faith. Oh, here's the thing. They saw them afar off. That's why sometimes your loved ones don't want to stay on the earth. And they'll go ahead and die and cross from this life to the next because they didn't already seen their glory. There's nothing in this world that compare to the future glory. So I don't have to have everything right now for me to serve God. I thank God. If I don't get it here, I'm going to get it there. So I'm sticking with God. I'm sticking with God all the way until I receive everything, whether here or there. It makes no difference. You won't shake me away from God because I see it. Even though it's not in my possession, I see it. All right, read the rest of that.
And were persuaded.
Persuaded, E.D., read.
And embraced them.
Embraced, E.D.
And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
And confessed, E.D. So they were persuaded and they embraced. And they confess. Here's the way I know you have a force of faith is because you are persuaded and you are embracing and you are confessing. You can be in a wheelchair and still confessing how good God is because you believe in God so much that the wheelchair doesn't change the goodness of God. I was thinking about this a couple years ago. Remember Sister Trudy that y'all used to bring to church? Sister Trudy, old in the old building, she would sit in her wheelchair and bring it up to the front of the church. And then the spirit would get high and folks would start dancing around the church. And Sister Trudy didn't let the wheelchair stop her. She roll out in the middle of the aisle and spin the wheelchair around and find a way to praise God. I may be in a wheelchair, but my faith says I'll still praise him. You can count me out, but I'll still praise him. I might lose my job, but I'll still praise him. You may lie on me, but I'll still praise him because I'm living by the force of faith. When you get people that really, truly believe, you can't shake them off of anything when they really, truly believe. Now, before we transition, let me say this. I see this oftentimes in the world where they doing dumb stuff and they believe the dumb stuff they're doing and they keep doing it. The cops can tell them, I'm going to lock you up if I find this on you again, and they'll do it again tomorrow. Because they believe this is the right way. But how come we can't have saints that the same way? Devil, you can threaten me, but I'll do this again tomorrow. I like the way Daniel said. They said, if you pray, we're going to throw you in the lion's den. And Daniel said, I'll pray again tomorrow. It don't make a difference because this is who I am. It's a force of faith. All right, we're already close to point four. Let me put this up. What faith is not, and they put this up, faith is not belief only. So I've been talking about belief, but in these other scriptures I pointed out, obeyed, persuaded, confessed, prepared. That means they actually did something. I'm going to tell you a story. It's a made-up story. It's not a real story, but it'll help paint the picture. There was a preacher who was traveling through the desert. And he got stranded in the desert. And he was about to die in the desert. And the folk that knew the preacher was at the church praying for the preacher in the desert that he would make it out of the desert. And while they were praying, the preacher walks in the church. And the church went up. Boy, they was happy because he didn't die in the desert. And somebody brought some water and set it on the table. And they said, this is for you, preacher, so you won't die. And the preacher said, I believe God sent this water to save my life. And because he was a preacher, he got a little happy. He said, I believe this water was sent here to save my life. And the folk in the congregation said, come on, doc. He said, I believe this water was here to save my life. And then he dropped down and he died. Because he believed, but he never drank the water. So faith is not just belief. It's acting on what you believe. Now the answer was the water, but he got happy with everything else but doing what it took to access the answer. Now, of course, that's a made-up story, but you know, if that was real, you know what people would say? God, why'd you let him die? God didn't let him die. He didn't do what he needed to do. He didn't move in faith, because faith is not just belief only. It's not mental assent. It's when it goes out of your mind and becomes an action in your life. Don't tell me you believe that you love the saints and you can't forgive, because faith is actionable things. All right, let's put it in some scriptures, since you don't like my story. Let me put it in some scriptures so you can understand it from the scripture. What? Read it. Read what James says.
What good is it, my brother, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him?
Now, this in parentheses, we've called it this: faith without works is what?
Dead.
All right, let's look at verse 17. All right, verse 18.
But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.
James and them people have used this terminology, corresponding action. If you believe, you will have corresponding action. Let me explain. If it's truly faith, you can have belief, but if it's truly faith, you have to have corresponding actions. Right now, I see two of the people, my wife and Sister Nitra Davis, who graduated. Let's go ahead and give them some props for their degree. But they couldn't pray their degree here. They had to study. They had to go to class and do the work. They couldn't say, I believe I'm going to graduate, and then don't do the work. You have to do the work. That's faith, is when you do the work that you believe. I'm going to write a book. I told my wife, I'm going to write a book. And she don't see me ever sitting down at the computer. And I'm over there with the remote in my hand watching reruns of Mama's Family. Talking about I'm going to write a book. No, at some point I got to put the remote down. Go sit at the computer. And there's a lot of church people, the reason why they don't have a force of faith is they won't do the work that corresponds with what they say they believe. I believe my church is good. I believe my pastor is anointed. I believe this is a church I'm called to, but then you don't never come. Then you won't watch online, won't give. But I believe. Yeah, you believe. I'm not saying you don't believe, but you don't have faith. Because faith is the actions you put behind your belief. This is not magic. This is not a magic wand. You got to put something in it, and that's when it becomes a force of faith. All right, let's go to verse, my fourth point. We're getting close. Point number four, yeah. Faith becomes a force once we know where and how to access faith. So we talked about why faith. We got all the way down to what it is and what it is not. Now it becomes a force once we know how and where to access it. So where do I even get the faith from? So it can't be natural faith. It has to be supernatural faith, because we're talking about supernatural things. It has to be in the spirit realm. So since I'm a natural person, how do I access this spiritual thing, this spiritual force called faith? And so let's ask this question. Somebody say it with me, put it up. Where is faith? Say it. All right, let's go to Romans 10:13. I can explain this. This is the quintessential way we get people to access what we call it, the Romans world, the road to salvation, from 10, 8, 9, and 10. But when you get all the way down to verse 13, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, read.
How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?
Mm-hmm.
And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?
Yes.
And how shall they hear without preaching?
I'm not just up here to be doing stuff. It's based on the scripture. How will they know? And says someone breaks the word down for them. I'm not just a talker or a speech writer or a speech giver. I'm a seed bearer. So when I am giving you this word, I am depositing seed in your direction. Now, how you develop the seed is not left up to me. The Bible talks about there's four types of soil. So I can't control what you do with the seed. But my job is not just get up here and look cute and talk and make y'all feel good. My job is to give you seed that will germinate in your life into the spiritual principles that I'm talking about. All right, let's look at verse 15. Wait a second. You can't just get anybody, pull somebody off of the back of a bus and get them up there and call them to preach. No, no, no. God has to send people to preach. And that also is twofold. It also means that the people have to actually send people out to preach like they do missionaries and evangelists. Let's continue to read.
As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things.
Verse 16.
But they have not all obeyed the gospel. But Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report?
Now, I don't know if it was talking about the entire world or if it was just talking about the Israelites at the time, but it says they have not all obeyed the gospel because not everybody believed the report with the corresponding actions that go behind the report. Who shall believe the report of the Lord? I can't control that. That's up to you. All I can do is give it out, but what you do with it is totally up to you. Now let's look at verse 17. So this lets us know where faith actually is, how it comes, and how it's accessed. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and the hearing comes by the word of God. I'm going to take it just a little more time and say it a couple more times. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. One final time. Faith comes by hearing, and that hearing comes by the word of God. All right, let me get deep on you. Now, if you read my book, Faith 101, you've seen me talk about this before, but put this up on the screen. I got a better word for it than I had when I wrote the book. This is what the word for it in logic and mathematics is called, the transitive law of logic and mathematics. The transitive law of logic and mathematics. And it says this, if you've been in algebra, you understand this. If A equals B and B equals C, then A and C are equal. If A equals B, B equals C, that means A and C are equal. Basically, what it means is B becomes the transitive thing that connects the two and makes the two equal. Let's put it up in another way. Put up the next thing. A, faith. B, hearing. And C, the word of God. Then A and C are equal. So if A equals B and B equals C, then A and C are equal. Let's do it again. If faith comes by hearing, go back to the other one for me. If faith comes by hearing and hearing comes by the word of God, then faith comes by the word of God. If A equals B and B equals C, then A and C are equal. So if faith comes by hearing and hearing comes by the word of God, faith comes by the word of God because hearing becomes the transitive thing that connects the two. So that's why you come to church, not to show off your outfit, but to hear the word of God. And when you hear the word of God, it brings faith. It makes faith available to you. And then once you hear his word, it opens up the door to faith. So you can't believe without his word, and you can't hear his word without the preacher. But God sends the preacher not just to make you happy, but he sends the preacher to give you a bag of faith that will be deposited in your spirit. And you can have faith in your life when you need it. But you'll have to cultivate it. You have to grow it. You got to do something with it. But basically, faith comes by the word of God. All right, now we'll go to that other slide. We'll put that up. Almost finished. Faith comes by the word, or faith is in the word of God, or the word of God equals faith. I accidentally put that out of order, but or the word of God equals faith. So faith is found in God's word. God's word is filled with his faith. The word of God is literally pregnant. It's pregnant with his faith. And once you get his word down in your spirit, when that word germinates and when it grows, faith springs forth in your heart. It springs forth in your life. But without the word, you can't have no faith. And let me let you know something. If you only eat the word on Sunday morning, you're not going to have a lot of faith. You got to get in that word Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. This is your faith. Faith is in the word of God. The word of God is faith. And the thing that connects it is the hearing. It's not just the natural hearing. Naturally, you're hearing me, but it's the spiritual hearing. That's why the Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So the Spirit is talking to everybody, but everybody doesn't hear what the Spirit is saying. But once you hear what the Spirit is saying, it brings faith. All right, now let's do this. Give me a little liberty. I'm not changing the word of God, but with what I just taught you about the transitive law, give me a little liberty. We're going to go to a verse we already saw, and I'm going to change it just a little based on what I just taught you. Hebrews 11 and 1.
Now,
now, I'm going to change it based on what I just taught you. Now, the word of God is the substance of things hoped for. The word of God is the evidence of things not seen, because it's in the word of God that I get the faith. So here's the thing. You think you got to look at some spiritual thing you can't see, but I need you to understand the word of God is your substance. The word of God is what you stand on. The word of God is your evidence. If I was a Mother Woods, I would say every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am standing on his word divine. Every promise in the book is mine. The reason why I have faith, because I found it in the word. The reason why I believe I'll be delivered, I found it in the word. The reason why I'm saved, I found it in the word. The reason why I'm washed, I found it in the word. If I can find it in the word, it can be in my life.
Let's go to verse 2. Read verse 2.
For by the word of God, we are going to obtain a good report. I don't mind Oprah. I don't mind Dr. Phil, but I need the word of God. Give me somebody that'll give me the word of God. I don't mind vacations. I don't mind playing basketball, but I need a friend that'll talk the word of God to me. I need somebody that will stir up my faith. I need somebody that will encourage me with the word of God.
I don't want to go too long, but sometimes you got church folk. You call them up depressed, and you leave more depressed by the time they get done talking, because they don't talk no word. Oh, it's bad out there. Oh, it's getting rough. I don't know what we're going to do. Shut up. Give me some word. I need somebody to tell me this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I need somebody that has the word of God in their mouth that'll stir me up, that'll relock faith in my life. And that's why you have to be careful who you talk to and who you partner with, because you need somebody that'll stir up your holy faith. You need somebody that can encourage you with the word of the Lord to tell me, I'm blessed when I come, I'm blessed when I go, I'm the head and I'm not the tail. Tell me what I am through the word, because that's where I get my faith from. I get it from the word. Verse 13. They were persuaded of the word of God. They embraced the word of God. They confessed the word of God. That's why they're not so concerned with what happens on the earth, because they embrace the word of God. They're persuaded by the word of God. They're confessing the word of God. So do what you want, Democrats or Republicans. I believe the
word of God. Say what you want to. I believe the word of God. This is my hope. This is what I need. Job says, I need your word more than my necessary food. This is what I need to make it in this life. I need your word. Four more verses and we close. Three more verses. Okay, five more verses. I'm lying. 2 Corinthians 4:16.
For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
When I got that word, that's why I don't fall. That's why I don't fail. Even though the outward man is wasted, the inner man is being renewed day by day. When I get that word, I'm getting that stuff down on the inside of me. Yes, I may be sick, but the word is making me feel healed. Yes, I may be stressed out, but the word is giving me my peace. I'm dropping over to the word in my spirit, and I'm not failing when I should be failing. One quick example, I was driving when I was a youth pastor, driving a big church van, taking the kids somewhere, and the gas tank was getting empty. And I knew where I was going, so I was going to wait to go to the next gas station up because it was cheaper gas. But when I got to the next gas station up, that gas station was closed. Now, here I am, the youth pastor, got all these parents, kids with me, and I don't know what I'm going to do. So I'm driving and praying. I don't know if you've ever been to a place driving and praying. It's as high as gas is right now, you might have to drive and pray when you leave here. But all of a sudden, the gas hand went from E and jumped all the way over to full. I didn't know if I was seeing a creative miracle. I didn't know what was going on. But when I finally got to the next gas station, I stopped and I put some gas in there, and it took all the gas that I put in there, and I was confused. But later on, I found out that van had a second tank. So when the first tank went empty, the second tank kicked in. The outward man may waste away, but the inner man is renewed day by day. I may be messed up in the outward man, but the inner man is renewed. And when I get low in the outward man, that inner man kicks up, because it's in the inner man that I got the word of God. It's in the inner man that I got the faith of God. And you can't count me out, because I got the word of God down in my down. I got his word down in my heart. Let's look at the next two verses. Verse 17.
For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal
weight. I'm not saying you're not going through anything. I'm not saying you're not dealing with anything. But based on what God is doing down in your spirit, it's light affliction. It's momentary affliction. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't you quit. God is still on your side. And down from the inside, if you can keep believing, the force of faith will carry you through it, everything you got to go through. Verse 18. Yes, there's some stuff going on in our world that is hard to deal with, but it's just temporal things. I won't trade in the eternal to give my mind over to the temporal. No, I'm going to hold on to God's unchanging hand. I'm going to keep believing the word of God. I'm going to keep believing that if God be for me, who can be against me? If God is on my side, I don't need nothing else. I'm going to put my hope in God. Hebrews 4:11. You're going to read it. We'll put that final point up. Point number five. Sorry, I skipped you guys. Faith becomes a force when we allow the word of God to be the basis for our faith. And this is how we'll close with the last two verses. Hebrews 4:11. You read it. We are laboring to get into the rest of faith so we don't get into unbelief that caused the children of Israel to miss the promised land, all the ones that died out. So let's read the final verse, and then I'm going to change it based on what I taught you. Read the final verse, verse 12.
For the word of God is quick and powerful and
For this force of faith is quick and is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing even to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow and the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, because this force of faith is based on the word of God. And based on that word, because John 1:14 said Jesus was the word made flesh and he dwelt among us. And because in his word, he said that all we need to do is remember him in the sacred communion. Based on understanding that, we're going to go right into our communion. And we're not trusting the cracker and the juice, but we're trusting the word of God, because God said in his word that that represents his body and it represents his blood. And so we're going to be taking faith because we're believing in his word. And this is how we'll close. Would you put the communion graphic up for us? Would you grab your cup? You can open it up just to get it ready. Mother Mitchell, I'll read these. We're going to go to First Mark 14, 22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave to them and said, take, eat. This is my body. Would you go ahead and take them? Would you eat the cracker or the wafer? Verse 23. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank it. That's drink of the cup. Mark 14:24. This is where we'll close from. And he said to them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. So through the faith of God, we take in that beautiful communion, believing that it connects us with our Savior, not because we said so, but because he said so. Come on, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you and we praise you. We praise you for this force of faith that comes from your word. God, I pray that every word you've spoken over our lives will not fall to the ground. I pray we will be willing to do the corresponding actions to stay in faith where you are concerned. Don't let anything get in front of you in our lives, in our minds, God. But let us put this word in our heart. Let us hide it in our heart so we won't sin against you, God. And God, as we have taken this communion, it represents that new covenant, which represents the washing. And just like the scripture said, even though the outer man is wasting away, that inner man is renewed day by day. And I pray as these people leave here, just like I did, they'll switch from the natural tank and they'll switch all the way over to the supernatural tank. And they'll know it was because of you. Your word gave them the faith to live this life. And we thank you for it. God, if there's anybody here under the sound of my voice as well as online that don't know you in the pardon of their sin, God, I'm praying that you would save them from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, God. Let this word come alive into them. Like Nicodemus, let them say, what must I do to be saved? And God, let the church be ready to receive them and disciple them and give them this word that will increase their faith to walk like you want us to walk until we cross from this life to that, and we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can stand to your feet.